We have our general manager, Lynn Haston, here joining us once again as we talk about the building blocks of success. And today we're going to be talking about performance. So thank you, Lynn, for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So, we've talked about everything we need to do to get ready to be a great agent, but now we're talking about the actual, putting the pedal to the metal and the rubber meat in the road. How are we going to perform as that top tier agent?
Well, performance actually comes relatively easily if you've done the preparation and the practice, first off. It does give you a level of confidence that makes performance a little easier. One of the principal elements, however, that I find often is overlooked is appearance. Look at yourself as an actor. To play the role that you need to play for the movie that you're in, you need to costume. So if you prefer to say, I need to costume up, say you need to costume up. But you need to be dressed for success. You need to look like you know what you're doing. You need to look like you understand the market. You need to look like they would expect you to look. I hear a lot from agents that say, well, this is me, or dressing like that isn't me. And my response to that is, it isn't about you. It's about your customer.
So this is kind of similar to the, dressed for the job you want, not for the job you have. If you want to be a top tier agent, you need to dress like a top tier agent would dress.
Correct. It's really easy for us to think, oh, my clients see me like this all the time and everything is just fine. I'm not telling you got to wear a three-piece suit. I'm not telling you got to, wear a tux. What I'm telling you is you need to look professional. You need to look the part. You need to be able to play the part. And it's easier to do that in almost everybody's mind when you're dressed that way. It does exude into everything that you do. When you dress like you're going to go to work, you go to work. When you're home on Saturday and you dress in your sweats and your t-shirt, you don't feel quite that same energy level toward work. Maybe a different kind of work, but not what we're doing here.
And it affects the way people treat you regardless. I mean, I know my first job out of school, my boss insisted on me wearing a suit every day, suit and tie, and every store I walked into, everywhere I went, people treated me better, treated me with more respect, and were more readily available to help me because of how I was dressed, as opposed to jeans and a polo shirt.
And everybody says that's changing with the times. And let me tell you something. I've been doing this in the real estate side, particularly for 32 years. And you can add another 10 onto that if you want to talk about professional time frame. And guess what? That has not changed. Whether you believe it or not, when you're wearing a suit, when you're wearing appropriate business attire, people have a higher opinion of you. Didn't say it was fair. Didn't say it was right. It is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they were 16 years old or 60 years old. They all treated me differently because of how I was dressed.
So in performance, I think it's appropriate for you to get appearance to be correct. One of the crucial elements of appearance is a smile on your face. I can't tell you how many people walk into an appointment a little afraid, a little bit scared, and no smile. Maybe not a frown, but just kind of that blank look or that I'm not really sure whether I should be here or not. Look, I'm not asking you to exude confidence. Just smile. Smiles open more doors than any single thing you can do from a body or appearance perspective.
Right. Well, and it's easy to get down on yourself when you're in sales. You have one bad presentation and it's hard not to let that leak into the next presentation.
Correct. Absolutely.
You have to fake it, and it'll, everybody says if you smile, it actually triggers those chemicals in your head that make you a little bit happier and make you loosen up. So,
and this is one of the few areas where you can fake it to make it. You really can. If you got the smile on your face, you can be as scared as you want to be inside. The other side doesn't necessarily see that. The person you're talking to sees the smile, sees the excitement that comes with the smile.
Well, and anyone who's ever done any kind of phone work knows that it's the same thing on the phone. You have to smile when you're talking to someone on the phone, because that tone, that energy from your smile will transfer into everything you say over the phone even.
Correct. It is one of the big things. Now, coupled with the smiling part of it, we need to be positive. So when you're in that presentation, when you're talking to that buyer, when you're doing your thing about what it is you do for them, you got to be positive. Positive about the market, positive about what was going on, positive about our ability to help you. We don't have to say absolutely, oh yeah, whatever you want, we can get done. I'm not suggesting that. I'm telling you, you got to be positive about the marketplace and positive about your ability to assist them in trying to get what they want.
So what are some tips that we can do to make ourselves more positive when we're talking about the market?
It's always the market's good. The market is the market. If it's terrible, there's something we can do to make it good. There's something we can do that makes it a positive. You need to sell, you want to sell. Even if it's a horrible time, it's okay, let's figure out how we make that happen in the time frame that you want to the best of our ability. You don't tell the person, oh, this is not a good time for you to sell. Their need, their want, their desire is their want. Adopt what it is they want to do, and that becomes your bent on the market. You got to also be positive about you, your presentation, why you're there. This is going to raise a positive level. It's going to raise the attitude. It's going to demonstrate, you don't have to, again, be overconfident, but you do have to be positive that I can help. I did listen. I did hear what you told me you wanted. I do believe there's a method of making that happen. It might be you have to drop your price by $50,000 and they won't be happy. But it's still a positive that I can make happen what you want to have happen.
You know, I've done enough sales. I know that it's much easier to sell a product that you strongly believe in. And it's very difficult to sell, unless you're an unscrupulous person, to sell a product that you really inside don't believe is worthwhile. But when we're talking about real estate, really the product is you as the agent. You're really selling yourself and your abilities to get done what they need done.
Precisely. And if we go back to the building blocks and we go back to preparation, that's what preparation's about. If you're not a student of the market, if you don't know how good real estate has been over the history of investment markets, if you don't know how much it has exceeded or not the stock market, if you don't know how positive it is, you need to. That's going to build your personal confidence, and that's going to give you the ability to be positive, to be up, to be ready to go. You know, it gives you the confidence in your own ability, and that's what this has to be. I find most people lose confidence in their ability primarily because they're not properly prepared and practiced. You have the ability, but you don't know what your client's expectations are. You didn't ask questions, or you didn't listen if you did ask the question. So you're still trying to think ahead. That confidence has to come from, we do something. This is how we do something. So you want me to sell your house? Let me tell you how I'm going to sell your house.
Well, and I know we have agents that are amazing ad libbers. They could give a full presentation on any topic just off the cuff. But those same agents seem to be even more amazing with just that little bit of preparation.
And you're going to get a fair number of people that are at times you don't want, end of the day, you've had a bad day, you know, you pasted the smile on your face and you walked in there. That practice, that preparation is what makes it so that it's second nature. You get to do it because you know what to do. You know where to go next. And I get people constantly say, well, I know I didn't practice it, but I've got it down. No, you don't. Until you've seen yourself do it, till you've heard yourself do it, you don't have it down. Trust me.
That's a great example of how our preparation affects our performance. But how do our clients' expectations affect our performance? And how does our performance affect our clients' expectations?
Well, let's talk about expectations and as a whole. Because you have your expectations. I'm going to sell their house and I'm going to get paid. They have their expectations. You're going to sell it for $1 million more than it's worth, and you're going to sell it tomorrow. Those two might not necessarily align.
Yeah, very rarely they seem
to. So what we need to do from expectations is we need to set what the expectations are going to be for this encounter. Two people are interacting. There are expectations set somewhere. If I don't ask you what yours are, I can't possibly know. And if I don't ask you what yours are going to change as you want them to change, even if I meet them. Okay? So within expectations, I call it a leadership gap. Think of it as, and I use this example all the time, my wife and I are getting ready to go to dinner. And my wife will say, "You want to go to dinner tonight?" And I'll say, "Yes." And she'll say, "Where?" And I'll say, "Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go?" I just created a void of expectations. I didn't tell her what I was expecting or wanting for dinner. She didn't tell me what she wanted or was expecting for dinner. Somebody's going to fill that gap. Or we're not going to go to dinner. We're going to end up eating soup at home.
And odds are both of you really do have an idea of where you want to go. And so no matter what, at this point, somebody's going to be disappointed.
And so this is where you can ask questions. You can start trying to find out what they want. But most times that's not going to happen in an early meeting. Fill the leadership void. You need to step into it. So this is where you come in and say, "This is how I approach selling a home in 60 days so that you can be to Dallas. This is what we have to do to market your home and get it in front of people. These are the steps we're going to take." If that doesn't meet their expectation, you're going to know. You'll see it in their face, or they will actually say, "No, wait a minute. I don't know if I want you to put a lockbox on my house."
Right.
Okay, now I get to deal with their expectation. And I can counter it, or I can come back and say why or what. But there is a huge gap here. And if you don't set the expectation, you're allowing them to do that. And if you don't make them express it to you, I can guarantee you one thing. You can't meet it. Because it will be a moving target because you never got the target.
Right.
And they're going to do something to try to keep pushing you to what they want. You got to set it. You don't have to be ugly about it. You just have to simply say, "Here's how we sell." And they say, "Well, no, that's not how I want you to sell." Then you have to come back and say, "Well, our experience has been that this is how we get it done in the time frame you have asked me to get it done." And if they say, "Well, that's not going to work," then you have the choice at that point in time to say, "Then perhaps we should find somebody else that works it a different way. Because obviously, I'm not going to be able to meet your expectation. Now we got a choice for them, and there's a new leadership void. They get to step in it and say, "Yep, you're right, I'm going to go someplace else," or they get to step in it and say, "Okay, I'm going to give leadership back to you." It's always easier to perform when you know what the script says and you can get back on script. They don't have a script.
I know the biggest issue in expectations seems to be in communication. How that communication is going to go on between the agent. So just like everything else, it seems like the agent needs to be responsible for putting that idea of the expectation out there and let them respond on whether that's going to be okay or not.
Precisely, because they'll object if you tell them, "I'm going to go to Taco Bell for dinner." And my wife's going to say, "No, we're not. I don't want to go to Taco Bell for dinner. I want to go someplace where I can sit down and they serve me."
Right. But if you say, "I'm going to Taco Bell for dinner," and she says that's fine, then she's probably not going to complain later that you went to Taco Bell.
That's right. Because and you had your chance. Now, in my house, right. That is a big deal. You had your chance. And that's the same thing here, because when they come back and go, "Well, that's not how I want this to happen," you're able to go back, because you do it the same way all the time, you're able to go back and say, "Now, wait a minute. I thought when we started, we said this is how I was going to do this, and this is what we were going to do. Is that not acceptable any longer? Do I need to change what your expectation is and how I can meet your expectation?" And either I can or I can't.
So we can always change expectations later, but if we don't set them, there's no going back and undoing the damage.
And I think the biggest problem for most, for most not terribly confident agents is that pregnant pause between and expectations. I don't know how to ask the client how they want me to communicate with them. Do you want me to email you? Do you want me to? I don't know how to do that. So I'm just not going to ask. I'm not going to talk. And then the other guy's going, well, I wonder how often he's going to contact me. And he's thinking the same thing. Somebody has to step up, grab the bull by the horns. You're the performer. You got the script.
You're the professional. Yeah.
You're the only one with the script. You're the professional actor. You've got the script. You know what your lines are supposed to be. Blurt them out.
Perfect.
Lead the person to the next. What happens when an actor forgets a line? What's supposed to happen is the guy who's opposite you is on the other side is supposed to lead you back to knowing what your line is by what he does or says.
Yeah.
Same thing here. We can lead a client to where we want them if they have no expectations set and we start setting the expectation.
Perfect. So now that we kind of have these basics, how do we tie that all together into that superior performance?
Well, and you know, we've dealt with parents' enthusiasm. We've set some expectations on what it is we're trying to accomplish and how we're going to go about making that accomplishment. We need to do a couple of things here that's called call to actions, but it's a little more than that. This is where we might say, okay, so my understanding is I'm going to contact you once a week about the progress of selling your home, whether there's anything going on or not. I'm going to call you Thursday morning somewhere around 10 o'clock every week and update you. That acceptable to you? I'm going to get a yes, no. If I get a no, we're going to find out what it is. We're going to refine what our expectations are. We're going to talk about, okay, we're going to do this in the price. We're going to do all of those things. What we have to do, however, is not make the assumption at this stage of the game that you've decided to go forward with me.
Okay.
This is where we have to ask for the business. So, Joel, if we're going to do this method of marketing and we're going to get you out here and we're going to get this and we're going to price the house at this and that, are you prepared to allow me to get started on marketing your home right now? It can be that simple. Are you ready to get started, Joel? I have paperwork I need to get done on this. If you'd like, we can start filling the paperwork out right now. They're still thinking and processing expectation and everything else. You actually can cut short the process in their mind of processing all of that information in some people by simply asking the question. Does that all sound good? Just stop. Does that all sound okay to you? Yes. Great. Are you ready to get started? I wasn't pushy. I wasn't, hey, we got to get this paperwork done before I get out of here, anything else. But it's still a call to action. And you got to make that. And if they come back and say, well, I'm not really sure, Joel. I don't know if I'm ready to go forward. It's not, okay, I'll put my head down and come back later. I'll call you next week and see how you think. We got to keep pushing here because we set an expectation for ourselves. We set one for them. Are you going to allow a person who's not sure whether they want to put an offer in on the house to just go away?
Definitely not. Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to let them go away. We're not going to have to be the pushy salesperson. We're simply going to say, Joel, I hear that you have some hesitation and you're going to want some more time. Can you tell me what that hesitation is? What concerns you about this?
So still working on those expectations. What? How am I not meeting your expectations?
Because if they're not ready to go forward, you did not meet their expectation somewhere.
Okay.
Well, let's not give up on it. Let's just get the expectation. So tell me, Joel, what is it that's causing you to hesitate? They're going to tell you, well, I don't know if the price is right. There's 100 different things. But that gets us back to the call of action. Okay, you're not sure about the price. Well, let's see if we can work on the price. What do you think an acceptable price would be? Let's see where we are from that. And if they raise the price too much, no, we may not be able to get this done. You still have to stick to your principles and you still have to stick to what you know is the case. But you now know what their expectation is. And you now know you're dealing with someone who has a preset expectation and we have to do a different dance, a different performance, if you will, to get around that. Those are how you continuously do call to actions and you continuously can cement expectations.
And I like how the call to action, as you put it, is that presumptive close, but it's kind of a no pressure version of the presumptive close. You know, the are you ready to get started? It assumes the yes, but it doesn't seem forceful.
Yeah, it's are you ready? Shall we get started?
Right.
What do you think of that? That sound good to you? Little lighter comments. It's
right.
Not
right.
Okay, I've made my presentation. Let's sit down here and sign this thing and let's get this show on the road because I'm going to get your house sold next week. You're now overblowing your performance.
Right, and we've all dealt with enough salesmen of any variety that we hate that.
Well, and there's a perfect commercial on TV right now that came out of the Super Bowl. And it's, what is it, John Hurt, the guy that's doing the H&R Block commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in a Shakespearean play. And he stands up there and is supposed to do his Shakespearean line, and he says, get your taxes won. And everybody in the room's going, what the? Okay? He's on a different play.
Yeah.
It's a different performance. That's where we are. We have to make sure we're not on a different performance, or if we've misset expectations, we've misread expectations, now we have to change the script. The performance changes a little bit to try to get to, can I meet their expectations or can I not? And if I cannot, do not take the deal. Do not involve yourself any further because you're setting yourself up for failure. Not only them, but you're setting yourself up for failure.
Well, and that could be really dangerous, having a client who has those just completely misplaced expectations. They're going to be very angry. They're going to tell everyone they know what a horrible job you did, even though you, in your mind, were doing a great job.
Precisely. And I talked to a lot of agents and said, I don't understand. I did a great job. You did a great job now. To you, did you do a great job for them? And you cannot tell me you know you did a good job unless you ask them.
Right.
If you ask them what they want and what they consider to be a good job, and I've actually had people go in and say, so what do you fear most from a realtor? What do you want most from your realtor? Okay, if that works for you, that's an expectation setting question. Some people don't want to do that. Some people want to just find out enough information to move you to how I work. And this is how I can work within what you want. There's different ways of doing it, just like there's different scripts for movies. Let's figure out which movie are we in.
But as long as you have that conversation, that's really all that matters.
That's it. As long as the conversation's there, I mean, it's like picking up a script to perform for your first play and misread what kind of play it is. And instead of reading Shakespeare, I'm reading Jive. What? Nobody's going to understand the modern bent. You didn't get the context. That's the word we used to use was, did you get everything into context? Well, there's a little more to context here. There's expectation way down deep inside your client. Without a question, you can't get there.
So if you don't feel comfortable asking, put out your expectations and allow them to respond to that.
Correct. It goes so far, attorneys are taught, don't ever ask a question you don't already believe you know the answer to. And how do you do that? Preparation. And practice. We prepare. We do all kinds of different things. We ask people questions ahead of time. We do interrogatories. We write response. We seal their expectations in by having them tell us ahead of time. And then when I get to ask you, you don't have much choice, do you? That's the same thing we have to do here to some extent, except we're live. We're asking the question right now.
So this performance can't be done just in a vacuum. It has to be done in tandem with the preparation, with the practice to be successful. We can't just have one piece.
Yep. And you said it earlier. You said a lot of people just get there and ad lib and do it. It's kind of like a clown. Is a clown oftentimes one of the most accomplished professional you can have? I mean, Harlem Globetrotters. Are they not some of the best basketball players in the world?
Yeah, they're consummate. They're amazing.
And that's because to ad lib, to clown around, you have to be supremely good and supremely confident, which comes from supreme preparation and supreme practice. It's the same thing for us. So there are people out there that do real well at an ad lib and can walk in and do any and answer your questions and deal with your questions. First off, I find most of those people have been doing this for a long time. And trust me, they weren't always that way.
Right.
Secondly, hey, it's still going to be easier to get it done if you practiced it, performed it. You know what you're trying to get accomplished.
Wonderful. So I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and talk about some of these building blocks to help any agent of any level move to that next level of their career. I know next time we're going to be talking with some of our top agents throughout the rest of the month. We just had our awards ceremony and awarded 9 diamond level Circle of Achievement Awards to some of our agents, which is a record for our company, and we're going to be sitting down and they're going to be sharing some of their secrets of success with us, which is going to be a real treat. So is there any kind of parting words you'd like to give to any of our listeners?
What I always say to everybody here is, let's go out solo paso. Let's set those expectations and let's not leave any leadership voids. We are the leader in the El Paso area. We should be the leader in the conversation. We should be the leader in the presentation.
All part of building the best.
You got it.
All right. Well, thanks again, Lynn, and hopefully we'll have all of you listening to us next time.
Thanks, Joel, and I'm looking forward to hearing from some of our agents.